Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the 10 Laws Podcast with East Forest. I am Mr. Forest. Today I am very excited about this episode because it is with my friend VCJ, Vernon Cortland Johnson, otherwise known as Mr. 10 Laws. And way back when I conceived doing a podcast in the first place, which I think was like 4 or 5 years ago, I couldn't quite get it off the ground, but initially I was like, I have these times where I've gone to visit and sit with Court, and he does these vast readings with anyone who's there, including myself, and I had these recordings of them, and I always thought, oh, it'd be fun to just release those as podcasts, but for various reasons, I didn't, and it didn't seem like much of a podcast because it's not your average conversation. And I'll give you a little bit of preamble about, you know, what you need to know, like the glossary, so to speak, to listen to this. But hey, thanks for those of you who give the podcast a review. We got a couple in the last week. It's always great to get more. I really would love to cross past the 200 mark in the ratings on the iTunes review. That really helps give the show some legitimacy and energy, given that this is a gifted project. So thanks for doing that. And thanks for doing your part to share the work on social media or email it to a friend. Whatever you do, you can always tag at East Forest on Instagram and at East Forest Music on Facebook and Twitter. So I think it's important to get a little preamble when listening to Court for the first time, because he's a unique dude. I often describe him as someone who just has a lot figured out for himself, who lives up in the Santa Barbara Hills, and he's a kind of mystic. And so you can't see what he's doing, but so a little background. So he born and raised in Santa Barbara, and he's an artist, this amazing visual artist. He did the artwork on the Education the Individual Soul album. He also is the voice of the 10 Laws, and he is the voice of a few other songs, like on Choice and some other things. And when I first met Court in 2008 or 7, I met him through a friend in Santa Barbara, one of my dear friends, Teddy, who took me over to his house. And then Court kind of proceeded to hold Court, and he gives a reading for people in the room, is the best way to describe it, where he's working through this 100-room psychology that you'll hear him reference. And in there's 10 floors, sort of think of it as a big house or big mansion, and there's 100 rooms and 10 floors. And he can explore these rooms often by working with you, giving words or numbers, or him calling those forth from himself as a way of accessing, like, don't think about it, like, just give me two numbers between 0 and 9, 1 and 0, 2 and 9. Each one of those numbers represents different qualities and characteristics, like 2 being split and 9 being mastery, things like that. And he can do the same thing with words, like by the next 2 words you'll hear him say, and then he'll call forth those words, or he's asking me or the other person to call forth those words, sort of from your unconscious, from the Akashic in a way. And so those are like entry points and doorways then into the reading. So you'll hear things like that. And he's kind of doing a body scan on himself as like a somatic way of gathering information and energy. And he's also muscle testing, like on his hand, and his, all this is fueled by this tobacco clove mixture that he just gets into a trance by smoking this. It's wild stuff. And you do kind of have to, and you have to pay attention, but simultaneously relax your mind at the same time to grok it. I think at first your mind might just throw it away and say, like, this is word salad. But I used to think that, or sort of, when I first met him, but over time it all started to make perfect sense to me. There is a through line. It's just something you have to allow to be heard. So I just wanted to put that out there. Otherwise, I've just been here in the studio working really hard on this new studio record that I'm really excited to share with you. I've been just mixing and summing, which is a process where you take the sort of like the constituent parts of the mix, like the bass, the vocals, the strings, the piano. And each one you put through its own channel of an analog mixer and you bring it back and record it as like a new master. And it's very, very time consuming, but it adds that extra little 5, 10% to a mix, which maybe some people out there are like, I can't hear it, but trust me, it's there. And what it does is it changes the feel, and music to me is about feeling. So it's really helps kind of put things over the top. And ever since the very beginning, when I recorded my first song, which was 10 Laws, okay, that's the first song for East Forest, and Court is instrumental in that happening. So I feel like that's our part of our soul dance. I've always been dedicated to high sound quality because I really just want things to last the test of time and feel timeless, and having it be like not of a trendy sound or even the way it's mixed is, I think, a good insurance policy that things can last. So I've been deep in that, and I'm going to be going back down to the studio in Southern Utah in a few days here with Rada, and I'll hopefully be doing the final mix down there on the API console. And then we'll be sending this off to mastering and finishing up the artwork and hopefully pressing some vinyl so we can have this ready for you in the winter. Okay, so let's get into this conversation with my dear, dear friend, VCJ.
Always protect your feet.
We got you loud and clear.
Okay. Well, again, this is the first, and I'm honored. I've been hearing about Zoom classrooms and Zoom business meetings, Zoom this, Zoom that, but...
So what is this? I don't know what this is. This is a Zoom psychic cross astral dimensional sit.
Yeah. So yeah. Krishna and Buddha walked into a bar. No, Krishna and Jesus walked into a bar and went golfing together, right? And Jesus just grabbed a 7-iron thinking, I can do it all with a 7. And Krishna said, okay, fine, let's go. And they were halfway down the course and Jesus drove his ball into the pond and walked out there to find his ball. And some passersby said, who the hell does he think he is? So Krishna, and Krishna says, he thinks he's Tiger Woods. I don't tell jokes that good. Oh, it's so good to see you.
Oh, you too, so good you to too. See
you are radiant. Are you at home?
Yes, this is my my music studio. It's a former garage in the back of Rada's house, and now it is the one of the East Forest Music Creation Temples.
In Utah?
This is Boise, Idaho.
Indeed. So,
yeah, I have space.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's
pianos here and over here and speakers here. And,
So what is, what's the hot topic? For me, it's healthy expressionism. Let's say 5-3. What is healthy expressionism and when does it decay? And can we get from here to there in the course of a conversation? What's going to pull us off our path? most intriguing to me is the next word.
Triumphant.
Yeah, I'm feeling triumphant. I am feeling triumphant. And you, there's a glow about you that suggests... suggests extraordinary success or triumph or transcendence. And for me, it's the discovery of how intelligence works in conversation and how one can get across a difficult stream in the course of a conversation, even if one needs to hold hands in crossing a stream, which is often helpful. Today, I would like to get from confusion to completion. And what is confusion about the subject of triumph? The confusion is based on the next word, complicated. The mind is a jungle. And popular phrases like, you never really know. This creates confusion. You're only human. How can you really understand, recognize the truth if you're only human? Popular phrase is, the truth is relative. No? Can anyone speak the truth to another person who believes that the truth is relative? If for you the truth is relative, then everything I say is babble. open to contention. But the truth is, I love you and I can prove it, let's say. Let's talk. The truth is, I recognize you as someone with sincerity and an open mind. Where shall we go? With the subject, triumph. I'm feeling triumphant and feisty. I'm feeling rambunctious, triumphant, and careful, too, because in this life I'm on a tightrope, and I don't wish to fall either left or right. I want to get across the tightrope. And in the course of this conversation, we might recognize the reality of a remarkable kind of triumph in your life. Are you creating your reality, actually? Are you in disbelief of this reality that you have created and thinking, anticipating that triumph comes before the fall? No. You know that in moments of happiness, if we don't express that happiness, it turns into anxiety.
Exuberance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you told me that before, and I actually have been practicing that at moments of extreme joy to let it out. I'm often alone. I have to feel the freedom to really just shout the exuberance.
Yeah. It catches
feels
up
good.
Me too.
Yeah. Triumphant. Yes, triumphant is not something people are feeling in spades these days. Whether or not it's right in front of them, perhaps. The triumph emerging.
Well, I would triumph today if I were to follow my first instructions today were sort out your doubts and dump them. And it caused me to laugh. And then I started wondering about my doubts. Is this my beautiful wife? Is this my beautiful house? Is this my beautiful friend? And in the face of a doubting, you know, a time where everyone's doubting themselves and their ability to handle the future. Let me identify a doubt with the next word that comes to my mind, honesty. Do I doubt honesty? Well, I could say that honesty and truth are interesting to compare. If someone doesn't believe in truth, then what is honesty? And I'm sitting here face to face with you, and I honestly feel immense love for you, and perhaps this is an expression of my triumph. Thank you for holding my hand through the years and reassuring me of my wackiness. I really am wacky, aren't I? That's the truth.
That's my relative truth.
Yes. I've achieved it.
Yes, feel the exuberance of that. Yes. Yeah.
the joy that I feel having conquered and triumphed over so many effects of my body, which was damaged growing up, that I'm in disbelief. I've used tobacco and clove to purify the body, and I'm feeling triumphant over so many old symptoms that have just disappeared, leaving me feeling blissful all day long. All day long. Wondering what to do with the bliss.
Please pass the bliss. Yes.
Please. Thank you for remembering that.
Yes. That's your phrase.
Better than this. With heaven, the ultimate kiss. God's love is as grace right here on your face. Praise the Lord, and please pass the bliss.
Do the limericks line up with the numbers?
They are poems in limerick form that are a result of meditations on any two numbers. And there are 100 limericks that are just like a little hors d'oeuvre towards consideration of that center of interest. The one that you mentioned is, don't recall, it might be 9-3 or it might be the 100th room.
Mm.
You know, speaking of the purely ecstatic condition, how do you write a limerick which gets to be kind of twisted as limericks get to be? And they could be written any number of ways, but the highest form of consciousness is the ecstatic condition. And how do you put words to something ineffable? In India, they speak of this as samadhi, but the intellect can still be functioning in such a condition. You don't have to be in a lotus position, stroking your long beard and your prayer beads and burning the right incense. The high ecstatic condition can be experienced by a Western person, not needing all the trappings, requiring all the trappings of what we're familiar with in the East. A transcendence over thought and emotion. That the enlightened condition transcends all thought and emotion, and it defies the concept that the mind is a monkey. Or even the Taoist thought that one who knows does not speak, one who speaks does not know, kind of thing. And I've got to challenge all notions that have come before in beautiful a variety of ways and say, I'm sitting with my friend, Mr. East Forest, and enjoying an ecstatic condition and seeing it on your face. Saying, this is real. Love is the highest truth.
Did you run your numbers this morning?
I did. I don't recall specifically, but I know that emotionally there was a 5. At the level 4, there was a 5, and indicating the need of the next word, truth. Emotionally, I need truth.
That sounds like a universal medicine.
What kind of truth do I need? The truth of friendship. The truth of understanding. The truth of the recognition of truth, yeah. Mm. Where do you feel truth when it hits you?
Mm.
Where do you feel falsity? Oh, maybe in the solar plexus. It was like, what's your angle here? That's solar plexus. I have grief about you, fear of failing you, fear of the unknown, fear of loss of control. I could say fear of joy and joy. But when I say fear of joy, I see it evaporating. I'm experiencing Zoom for the first time and looking at your face and knowing that this is love that we're sharing right now and a good smoke. I'm feeling something I can only call ecstatic as I look upon thy countenance. Oh, Smokey Joe's Cafe. My solar plexus is active, and I am always open. Even at the highest, in my highest condition of consciousness, there is an aspect of that which is surveillant to in the interest of apprehending anything that might interfere or intrude upon our connection, as other souls might object to this connection between us and what we share. 4,800 souls may be online or may be interested in interference of our conversation.
Interference?
Yeah, Krishna meets old Flat Top. Yes, we are grooving up slowly. And I know you out there in the viewing audience. Might object to this encounter. Yes, we are grooving up slowly. I know you're thinking that it's real late for justice. All these doomsday devotees pulling out their hair. While this here waiting on the rapture seems so unfair. Funky weather, light showers over me. Yes, some world is ending. There's no damn justice for the crimes of the brain dead or the Prozac football. Grab your Ziploc bag and your big stash of green. You know it stinks when the junkies get mean. I share what I perceive to be sincere, loving, ecstatic encounter. What shall we do with this? I observe with my eyes closed that you look like the Eiffel Tower to me, beaming up to the heavens. I open my eyes and I see you as the freak that you are, the brother from another planet. But there's something about you that's reaching up way high and broadcasting. And I wish to honor that. I recognize in you the receiver, transmitter, in human form. I wonder what source you are drawing from, as there are many sources that we might draw from, even other non-physical sources, the Akashic, the causal, the mental, higher mental, Buddhic plane. We as humans are able to draw from other planes of consciousness and to derive inspiration from other levels of consciousness. Is that Crow, is your friend Crow with you right now, is the question in my mind, because Crow is an entity of the high mental plane who makes no boasts about his accomplishment in his evolution, but is open to interfacing with human beings, and the primary value of which is an energy characteristic of the high mental plane, which can cause depossession and other effects in those around the person receiving and transmitting. When I'm in public around strangers, I will note that I am accompanied by friends in high places, and I conduct myself accordingly. I don't advertise, I don't boast, I don't declare anything. I simply receive and transmit the energy that is mine to receive and transmit. If I wear my mask in public, then I look to say it, with my body language and my eyes. But I cannot say with a big grin because I'm wearing a mask. And we've counted on our beautiful mouths and our lips to convey power to others, but we are restrained from that by having to wear masks in public. I say it with my body language, with my eyes, and the seven ways that one can express with the eyes.
Seven ways?
I will not list them. Because the wonder is of more value, even if it causes momentary self-consciousness. You know, what do you see in my eyes? Well, we know that many people are not comfortable with eye contact, or much less extended eye contact. But old souls like you are known to really be open to such, having nothing to hide. If I was doing Zoom with a bunch of other people, I would look at their faces and their eyes, and I would read them as the souls that they are and appreciate that some might have power mode or caution mode or reserve mode or aggression mode, and I'd be able to see it in the face.
Do you feel you see it or feel it over Zoom? Even I know it's always in person as an energy.
Well, it is. This is so real for me, being face to face with you, that in reading you and appreciating, honoring that we have taken sacred oaths with each other, that you have opened yourself like a book, as I trust you as being the book that I am to be open and read. I can identify you as an individual soul, not too readily, because you seem to be interfacing with the Akashic plane at the moment, and it seems to eclipse your individuated soulness, as though you have put your soul aside in the interest of this Akashic plane and the quality of softness associated with the Akashic plane. Power of softness is beautiful in you. And what do we do with the power of softness? given that we are members of a young soul nation who believe in the hard body and in the hard reasoning mind, I appreciate that you seem to be a merger. You appear to be a merger of imagination and reason at the same time, and accompanied and representing the Akashic plane as you are at the moment. In such a condition, could you formulate a question of broadband interest?
I think the deeper question, and it sounds silly, but deep down, a lot of people are questioning the big question of why we're here. But that's underneath the question of why is this happening? All this that's happening. Everyone's feeling collapse versus they're experiencing change, but they see it as collapse. And deep down.
Yes. Doomsday.
Why?
It's like doomsday, judgment day.
Why are my expectations not being met?
Yeah. Brace yourself. Brace yourself for Jesus' return or something in the raptors, you know? Jesus in the rafters, Jesus in the rapture. It's been building for a long time, and people have been watching scary movies about zombies and epidemics and stuff like that. And humans are so suggestible and easily hypnotized they think that movies are real, that dead people are going to rise out of their graves, and they don't realize that the raising of the dead is happening right now, and that the Master may well be among us doing what the Master came to do, but grossly misinterpreted. I'm not a Christian, but I know the times are ripe for a major manifestation, a major event. And I don't believe that any time in history such major events have been recognized for what they are. The last avatar on Earth was Gandhi, and as the transcendental soul, he left us a tremendous legacy in Satyagraha, but it implies something to me that the transcendental soul has recently visited us, and that a major event may well be taking place right now on Earth. And that a shakedown is taking place on Earth for the first time in history, that a majority of human beings are familiar with the idea that some tremendous epidemic has been set loose and will become the answer to the question, what's going to happen with 7 billion people on Earth? Something's wrong, something should be done, because I know that most humans think there are too many humans on Earth and that something should be done. This pandemic seems to come as an answer in their minds, and all humans are feeling defective, as though we don't belong here. We don't belong as part of nature. Something should be done. If something is being done, how long do I have before I'm removed as a defective member of a mutant species on planet Earth? You know? I'm human. I'm guilty like all other humans, that false human guilt. There's a pandemic of false human guilt, you could say. Mm. Humans don't belong here. How do we answer to that? What is our purpose, as you put it? Our purpose is to be an aspect of consciousness that's in everything. Everything is conscious and conspiring together in a rambunctious way to make this world even more manifest as a product of our collective efforts. There's consciousness in everything. And that consciousness is the reason that the world has congealed into what we perceive it to be. Even the smallest particles or waves or whatever you want to call them are charged with this energy to be there as part of this collective event, the creation of a world in which we all get lost and hypnotized and eventually find our way back to consciousness, back to the original self, the dreaming self that dreamt up this world as a campus for human souls to learn in. I would, if there were listeners, I would ask them to be the first on their block to go out barefoot on the Mother Earth's surface and declare, I am soul and I belong here. Stamp your feet and declare, I am soul and I belong here. Be the first on your block. So my vision is divided at this moment. A portion of my consciousness is wondering at something in you that may be in need of knowing. If you look to me to know something in this moment, I will say the truth is not here or out there, but within you to know. If you had a question about the purpose of human beings or the purpose of this broadcast here, then we have the ability to know it. We exist to complement evolution. All choices are valid. We come and we go, but we are all here wanting to, desiring to, burning with the desire to be a vital component of reality. And no one can deny that. We all desire to know that we are perfect, lovable, and important. And very few of us feel perfect, lovable, and important. Very few of us have been told that we are perfect, lovable, and important. But no one's argued with me yet. And I poke them in the chest and say, you know what your problem is? You're perfect, lovable, and important, and now deal with it. Leave them kind of blank and surprised at hearing the truth for the first time.
It's not a popular truth.
No. We are sinners. We're defective members of a mutant species.
Most insignificant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, insignificant.
Yes. Wow.
Every particle of our being is charged with a desire to be included in this miracle that's called life. Be involved with this complex miracle that's called the human condition. Every particle, every cell in our bodies desires recognition of this rambunctious, eternally rambunctious quality. To every cell in your body, or every cell in my body, I say, I love you, and let's do this. Let's be Vernon Cortland Johnson to the max.
You did that.
I see such expansion in you in this format that I'm wondering too. My vision is divided, and I look to see what you're drawing from in this moment. It may be that you are open to an audience, a non-physical audience that revels in our face-to-face time like this as of a momentous significance on Earth.
Open.
Mm-hmm. I'm observing that there are many friends of mine on the high mental plane, the Akashic, the causal, who are reveling in our encounter and in the encounter between two human souls like this on planet Earth at this time. That we are involved with an immense population of human beings who are really appreciating that this is the beginning of a new world. This is a sign of the beginning of a new world of consciousness. Zoom, FaceTime, etc. That you could be on the other side of the world and we could be enjoying this conversation, which is just really an amazing development. Amazing.
Yeah. And podcasts, even music, the way, you know, it distributes also around the world through unlimited ability to stream all music anywhere at all times.
Yes.
Information.
A bunch of musicians can all be playing together on Zoom, reading each other and composing from immense different distance. Which is an illusion, you know, this thing of space and time. We might be speaking a conversation that's actually happening in the future or a conversation that's happening in the past that we didn't know was happening when we first encountered. But this was already happening when I first shook your hand or hugged and kissed you, as the case may be, long ago. Did we know that this was actually happening then? We've been dreaming together and encountering each other on occasion, but there has been no distance between us. We have been expanding in our at our own respective paces, but I can see your expansion and appreciate that that we've been on the same page anyway.
Indeed, indeed.
I have grief about you, fear of failing you, fear of the unknown, fear of loss of control, and wonder about how you regard yourself and what you identify with these days. Certainly not with what you see in the mirror, which is a reflection of the what do you want to call it, the skin bag, the odd person that I get to appear as in this life, which is what anyone viewing it might readily identify as a funny old man with a strange mind. I identify with being an agent of unknown proportions, which is a vague description of a soul, but even identification of self as a soul with a goal, mode, attitude, centering, and problems or challenges or preoccupations. I am a form of consciousness associated with a human body, but I don't know where my boundaries are, and occasionally have to check in to see what I'm picking up on at a distance. There may be millions online with us right now that we know not of, but for the wavelength that we are cultivating, an open broadcast associated with, say, the ninth center, which has to do with self-mastery and knowing oneself in an expanded condition, and the potency, the potentials of the self in an expanded condition, open to 526 million in North America right now who are aching to feel they belong, let's say. To the 526 million in North America, I might offer treatment fair, secure boundaries. He is here. I am here. It is here. Which would cause wonder. It would sound fantastic. But something is happening in North America. Let's see. My vision is divided in this moment between sequence and fairness. And in fairness, I can say to you, have you gotten this far? Which is a ridiculous question, but not in the face of people who are saying, intoning, how do we end up like this? The better question is, did you get this far? Which causes laughter, of course. Or how did... We've only gotten this far, if you do the simple math, because we've been successful all along. Got all my fingers and toes still. I'm 73. That's a sign of success, because early humans would tend to lose fingers and toes and teeth and other things, eyes. By the time they were 30, they were old. Have we gotten this far? And what did we do with this? With this appreciation of success, express triumph. For anyone who is viewing, I'd say I recommend that you write a page of 10 numbers as fast as you can and indicate all the things that are wrong with you. Just make a list of all the things, 10 things that are wrong with you as fast as you can. We'll look at that page and we'll see if there's anything in the order of misdemeanor or felony, and we'll laugh and burn it. Because it's funny the way people go through life pounding their forehead saying, what's wrong with me? Never having said, what's right with me? You know what's right with you. You don't hear it. As Christians, maybe, we go through life thinking, what's wrong with me? Why do I worship a sadistic God who sends souls to eternal damnation? What's wrong with me? And then I would recommend that the list of what's wrong with a person, if they are brave enough to do such a list, because people who are afraid and have secrets will resist the exercise of doing a list of what's wrong with me. In honesty, a murderer might hesitate, a rapist would hesitate to say, I'm a rapist, or I've murdered people, you see. And I understand that people close up when I propose such, but I'm talking to someone who could do this exercise in seconds and laugh about the list of all the things that are wrong with him. I did it with a couple of friends and we all had to laugh. You've been beating yourself up over this? It's ridiculous. My name might be Court, and you might come here expecting a trial or a contest, but it's just a name. It's the icon I have to live with as a name. Court. My life in court. Having burned the list, then we would write a page of 10 things that are right with me and appreciate that is why we've gotten this far. Mm-hmm. And that lazy is a worthy cause. You know what's right with me? I'm lazy. I'm going everywhere slowly. I don't go nowhere fast. I go everywhere slowly. I will have the world my way. Gentlemen will walk but never run. Dignity shall prevail in knowing self as belonging. The mind, for most people, is a jungle. I have with you enjoyed on many occasions the mind as a mansion, and that questions may be asked and answers may be found somewhere within this phenomena that is of a perfect order, the mind. 100 points of interest, which anyone is free to contest. But clear to me is the phenomena of 10 aspects of 10 floors of consciousness, all of which can be explored and which hold wondrous discoveries in that every room in the mansion functions as it was made to function, except that it gets befuddled or obstructed by beliefs. If you were to name or describe a belief, I could see that it's associated with certain levels of consciousness, certain rooms of consciousness. The belief in a sadistic God would be something that impacts on the seventh chakra, where the soul enters the body and exits the body. And in the 10 rooms of the seventh floor, there are dynamics in all the rooms that function towards keeping oneself feeling soulful in this life, or feeling divided as a soul, even, or needy as a soul. Room 7-5 indicates that the soul has need, as room 7-2 indicates that the soul is divided, because 2 as a condition implies a split. 7-1 is simple, childlike, soulful. Any of the 10 numbers on the seventh floor indicate a condition in that center, on that floor of consciousness. With you, I can look within and see that room 4-2 is active, which has to do with emotion, and feeling emotionally divided between the next two words that come to me from within, ecstatic or complete. I mean, it's fine to feel complete, emotionally complete, and to be comfortable with the five emotions, joy, anxiety, grief, fear, anger. But can I feel righteous or comfortable with being emotionally ecstatic? And is that realistic? Because we've all learned that suffering is spiritual, that anguish is, it's more spiritual than emotional acceptance, you know. What comes with perfect understanding is forgiveness. That's Buddha. If you understand yourself completely emotionally, then it's easy to forgive others for being emotionally mixed up, for not knowing what they feel. As a member of a species that is cooperative by nature, not competitive. Because we're cooperative by nature, we put our emotions on hold just to be amenable to others and not rocking the boat with our emotionality. Over the course of the years of my therapy, I've become comfortable with all the emotions. And if somebody experiences an emotional flare, I'm comfortable with that. I'm saying, good, let's engage this emotion and stay in motion with your emotion, and it will lead you to understand yourself better. But everyone has patterns that are often exhibit allergy to joy, anxiety, grief, fear, or anger. Most prevalent in me is joy right now, but I'm ready to engage something of an emotional nature concerning, let's say, how the soul feels divided. Well, I know why souls feel divided. It's relative to culture and religion and personal choice of beliefs. This is a very novel experience for me, and I'm ecstatic in viewing you. I'm looking at someone who looks like they're on the spaceship Enterprise or something, and talking, you know, they're somewhere near Saturn or something. And okay, yeah, you are on the spaceship Enterprise. I can't see that it's turning in space, but your gravity device is keeping you hinged to the floor. let's see. 6-2. We're in a very expanded condition together. And what place does belief and thought have in our expanded condition? And what would be of interest to the viewer in this moment between these two souls? Many would perceive that we are either high or delusional. Abnormal. Even as everyone's wondering what normal is.
Yeah, I'll take abnormal.
A merger of the imaginative self and the reasoning self. The successful merger of the imaginative and the reasoning self would be beautiful to experience and to behold for those who are interested. My wife has just come home, and she might make an appearance at some moment momentarily, but I am sitting here with you experiencing the ecstatic, and my most honest expression is, which looks irrational and childlike. When many people would opt to be serious in regard to spiritual matters or the nature of the discussions on the nature of reality. Everyone viewing this would have interest in something and look for signs of a realistic composure an address to realistic and current concerns. How about President Trump? How about the economy? How about the future? How about, these concerns? Plastics. What do we do with plastics? I understand they're not recycling. Somebody should do something about it. Plastics. I'm talking to you in part by virtue of... My wife lets me babble.
God bless her.
Yes. Current issues. Let's really consider a current issue, and that would bring satisfaction to a viewer or a listener.
Yes, it's a very serious pandemic happening.
Toilet paper.
Yes, toilet paper.
Versus a bidet. Now, I could recommend a reliable bidet for someone who wants to cut down on toilet paper usage. It might cost them $38. eBay, I think it was. I bought one and it splashes. It's a real tingly sensation. But we're talking about that other end of the tube, even as we celebrate the front end of the tube in conversation. I'm talking to you by virtue of plastics, which afford me these dentures and are hopefully really impressive to those in the viewing audience. Yeah, he's got a fine set of teeth. Look, is that a wig? No, it's apparently his real hair. He gets points for these things. He's smoking, he loses points. Credibility, you see, in anyone's mind is kind of arbitrary, you know. Pretty and handsome people are more believable than funny-looking freaks like us. I have grief about human souls because I know that they're aching. I incarnated in order to check in on the human condition and to experience what humans are experiencing. And I freely confess that I have been through hell in the last 10 years, lost all my teeth, had a heart attack, had 3 stents put in my heart, had throat cancer, and I'm still smoking all day, every day. I lose points for my confession, you see. But I'm not looking for admiration or recognition as much as I'm seeking confidence in this highly improbable incarnation of mine. It really seems to me improbable at moments that I have been given what I have been given, and a knowing that I must exercise regardless of people's beliefs. And I've taken the sacred oath with you, which includes that I will never speak untruth about you, print untruth about you, expect you to believe me, come on to you in any way, shape, or form, much as I'd like to hug and kiss you right now, or tell you what to wear or eat, or make extraordinary claims of being anybody. You can call me old Flat Top. And yes, I know where the mojo filter is. No biggie. No biggie. Simple exercise. If we go playing golf, I'll probably take at least 3 or 4 clubs with me. As much as I appreciate the 7-iron, I've tried to drive with the 7-iron and tried to get out of a sand trap with the 7-iron. And I can't say it's really that successful. I believe in being practical on the golf course or in the board meeting or in the context of this kind of sharing. I've just run out of cigarettes, and I may have to zoom to the left.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this point in the listening experience, we are waiting for a sponsorship from Loose Tobacco.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't say that I smoke a particular brand because I buy bulk tobacco and I mix it with clove myself. I'm loath to pay $7 for 10 or 12 cigars, which aren't even the original charums from Southeast Asia, which were...
That could be $28 a day, yeah.
Yeah. Incredible, but they were dangerous too because they sparkled. They sparked and I had holes in all my clothing. So, knowing that I'm losing points for being a smoker, I will recommend it as a preventative in the realm of disease, because clove itself has properties that are very discouraging to bacteria and virus, and I haven't had a cold or a flu in many years. I had a heart attack and cancer for a reason, which have nothing to do with tobacco, which have more to do with my withholding of grief and anger. The consequence of withholding grief and anger is directly upon teeth and throat and tongue and heart as well. Cancer results from the withholding emotional withholding. If I were to shift my mode of consciousness and read you, I would say that at the seventh chakra level, you're divided as a soul between ecstatic and realistic. I will honor that you are of a realistic nature and that it has served you. That the realist attitude doesn't suppose in the positive sense, but perceives and acts on what is perceived rather than supposing. As a realist, I don't perceive a list of your personal concerns, and I don't suppose that what we are saying will inspire others. I look to perceive what is currently relevant for as a broadband subject of interest for any viewer. And in respect to that, say, you are looking healthy and wealthy and comfortable to me. And you're looking successful and confident and satisfied. And I must applaud that because... this is the roughest and cruelest of all planes of existence, and there is no hell like being incarnate. I perceive that emotionally you are divided between ecstatic and realistic. That you would be perfectly legitimate and say, in asking a question like, what is the greatest challenge for you, VCJ? What kind of problems are you dealing with? And how might your research and investigation of such problems be of interest to others, whether they're biological, economic, or... psycho-political questions, you know. Who are you voting for this year and why? What does your diet include? And what is your secret to happiness? And what is the value of happiness if suffering is more spiritual? What is the value of your wealth if poverty is more spiritual? How do you justify your happiness and your wealth? And if you're happy and wealthy, then you will lose some viewers because they will want to see expressions of human anguish and real concern about the suffering on planet Earth and all the worthy causes that we would do better to launch ourselves into, to devote ourselves to, rather than ecstatic conversations.
You're happy and you know it. And you clap your hands. Yeah.
How are we doing for time? He said, in respect for that perception of time. When you and I are enjoying eternity together, how shall we regard the common concern of time? Or
the regard of time is this is a, I'd say, a typical amount of time for the audio audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But we're time rich at the same time. But it feels good.
The curious thing is that when you're having a good time, time passes faster than when you're suffering, and that seems so unfair.
That is very true.
Say a broken relationship, a broken heart, just seems to stop time as we toss and turn and and resort to compensational measures to even sleep. You know, your lover has gone away and said she doesn't want to see you anymore. Time stops, right?
Yeah, that's true.
As it may seem to many people on Earth now, that time has stopped and we're left like we're turning on a spit over a fire, expecting damnation or the end of the world, apocalypse, the zombies. The sun will black out. The gods are angry with us. Something terrible is going to happen. Don't be happy. Don't be confident. Engage your doubts and buy insurance. Stock your basement with plenty of rice and beans and toilet paper.
Get a gun.
And a gun.
Yeah, plenty of ammo.
I can't claim to be interested at all in my stocks. And I will project nothing into the future but health, wealth, and cheerful co-creativity. We're all free to project into the future. We've all gotten this far. If anyone listening to this thing of ours is projecting anything else into the future, then they will do well to consider that everything they've experienced thus far is a result of beliefs, expectations, and projections. Nothing just happens to anyone. Consciousness came before this world, created this world, and goes on creating its experience. What kind of experience do I want to go on generating? It's entirely anyone's prerogative to project what they wish into the future. And all choices are valid because we learn from all choices. If you wish to perceive that the world is ending, then go on, collect your evidence and brace yourself. But I'm 73 and I grew up through the Cold War and the arms race, and I'm really disappointed that the world hasn't ended, right? What a waste of worry and energy. Where has all my anguish gotten me? There are those who are on this wavelength who will feel validated in what they might regard as delusional, and I love them for appreciating that they have been creating their reality all along, and that they ought to experience the triumph that you and I are experiencing right now. That it is quite realistic, sober and realistic. We will go on creating our realities regardless of what happens. We're at a turning point on Earth, and we are tilting into the age of Aquarius, if you want to call it that. But we could also say that the average individual will begin to introspect during the next 1,000 years. And over the course of a few 1,000 years, all humans on Earth will be introspecting. The average individual does not introspect. The average individual thinks, continues to believe that events just happen to them. And it, for me, that's delusional. That's out there. I may seem like I'm really out there to people because I believe that I create my own reality. But I will check back in my next incarnation to see if this age indeed has borne out, in great part because of technology and movie making, which lead us into the age of introspection. I assert that a whole new world is just beginning, even as we're hallucinating and collecting signs of the end.
Indeed. All the world.
With you, I always feel understood. And I'm glad of it. The oaths that we've shared will keep us on a kind of tightrope that will take us from point A to point B. A is the confusion that we grew up with. Point B is certainty. Would you rather fall to the left or right before you get to point B? Well, a lot of people allow for falling to the left, which is hypnotism, or falling to the right, subject to the consequence of seductions of all sorts. I will not be hypnotized or seduced. In this incarnation, I will get to point B. Why allow for this or that? I discern that there, with my eyes closed, I can discern that there are many on our wavelength. And there may be even 5.8 billion human psyches that are open to this energy and consciousness of ours. And to 5.8 billion right now, I have something to offer. I am an agent of unknown proportions. Send. Here's my email for the day.
We'll take it.
Almighty Cordy.
I tell that to myself every time before I perform. Sort of a mantra to go through.
I will do that before I enter my design meeting. Say,
Seven words
that just set my instrument for what we began, the note we began on, healthy expression. No complaining, blaming, or making excuses. Here's my work. I put my work on the wall with no expectations. And as often as not, my drawings will be rejected, and I'll be sent back home to smoke a fatty and generate another set. As my boss says, Johnson, go home, smoke a fatty. Let's see what you can come up with. I was talking to him one day in design group, and I poked him in the chest, and I said, you know what's wrong with you? And he was like, okay, here it comes. I said, you're perfect, you're lovable, and you're important. Fell on his face, and he hasn't been the same since. Go ahead, put me in hot water. You won't know what I'm like until, you know, I'm like a bag of tea. You won't know until you put me in hot water. Come on, brew me. Brew me, boss.
Well, it looks like I have to go pass off the stepkid to his dad or something.
Indeed. Indeed. God bless you. God bless you for that.
Let's do this again.
Yes. Thank you so much. Oh, immense love I have for you. Thank you. Thank you for being.
You too.
So being on my, being on campus Earth. Thank you so much.
I feel, campus, yes. I feel ecstatic. I feel triumphant that we have crossed the airwaves. Good. It means so much to me.
Enjoy yourself on the tightrope.
Yes.
It's a good effort. We shall. And I'll leave you. I will leave you. See you in the dream time, my dear friend. Over and out.
Over and out, Flat Top.
Over and out, Krishna.
Well, that happened. I was overjoyed to, as we both were. We were exuberant and triumphant to look each other in the eyes to say, yes, yes. That's what you need. You need that expression. I hope to have Court back if I can ever wrangle him in front of a computer, or even better yet, next time I go down there, perhaps I can just make that the podcast episode. But I hope you enjoyed that. It's really a reverie of poetry and metaphor. He often would say to me after 4 hours of chatting with me, he says, I don't expect you to believe any of this. It's all metaphor. So it's got that playfulness of you never really know what's what. And that's kind of the point. He's the ultimate trickster. But I'll tell you, a lot of things he was telling me in that session really rang true in what I was feeling in the moment. And I just am so happy to share with you. So, hey, take it for whatever you want. So, of course, the song you're hearing in the background is 10 Laws. And that's the song. That's the guy. You know, I've got you can go back in the podcast episodes and see the story of 10 Laws. And you'll hear about how this song was recorded and the first visit with Court and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to learn about that, go back in time in the podcast episodes and find the story of 10 Laws. Thanks for giving the podcast a review, guys. Thanks for sharing it. And thanks for all your messages of support. Thanks for listening to the music. Thanks for sending sweet messages on email. That's info@eastforest.org or on Instagram, social media. We love you all. Times are very crazy, but we can do this, folks. You just got to keep walking your walk. Don't take any shit. But if you do, do it with grace.
You always be ready for cold. Always be ready for heat. Always know where good water or source is. Singing our way through life together.